Hello and welcome to episode 548 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, let's start with you.
Hello, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere at Hey Dude Meg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. We're back. Welcome back. In a couple of weeks.
I forgot to tell you, too, that I'm also now on Letterboxd.
Oh, so am I.
Are you? High five.
Well, you haven't followed me, you bitch.
I didn't follow anybody.
Well, don't announce it and then say you don't follow anybody.
I follow you.
I haven't done it. I haven't followed anybody yet, meaning I'm just like trying to figure it out. Not because I don't want to.
You should follow Anne Hathaway. She also just got on Letterboxd.
Did she? I know.
Mother.
Mother stole my thunder. Although the soundtrack is really good. Mother Mary. I was listening to it.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah, I like it. It was like My Mouth Misses You or something is one of the songs. I was like,
are they all written by Charlie XCX or just a few?
I don't know. That's probably why I like it then.
Yeah, she wrote some of them.
She's like everywhere right now.
She's what? She had seven movies, something like that. She was in seven movies within the past year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. None of them good from what I hear. But anyway. Excellent. Well, we have regathered here at the Water Cooler to continue with the 2026 Emmys conversation. Now, Megan and Joey kicked this off a few weeks ago without me, but tonight we're going to follow up on Hacks season five, final season premiere, with a look at comedy actress and then the bizarre, the beleaguered, the bleak comedy actor race, the race devoid of any front runner whatsoever, which will be really interesting. We'll see what we can expect from that. Of course, we'll close the podcast with a flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And before I forget, in 2 weeks, we are going to revisit another film that Megan has not seen.
Oh, yeah.
Another canon in the Michael Douglas, another entry in the Michael Douglas canon, War of the Roses, the 1989 Danny DeVito film. Is it 1999 or 88? I think it's 89. The Danny DeVito film, co-starring Kathleen Turner. Yeah, so
thank you for the reminder.
You're welcome. In 2 weeks now, next week we're going to revisit The Pit after the season finale, which is apparently, as we're recording, screening at Alamo Theaters nationwide tonight.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
You've seen the finale?
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, it's just consistent. The show is very consistent in its second season. And I like the fact that it's like, it's not ER. It's not like, we're going to drop a helicopter on somebody.
Right.
The thing that I think is the magic trick about this show is that we're not going home with these people, yet we know so much about them. Yeah. And I think that's great writing, great direction. So I think the season finale is great.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I do get upset, and we can talk about this next week, but I do get upset when people say that there's no character development. They're just in the hospital, and they're just doing their job. And I'm like, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, you're not.
There's so much character development there, and it's all between the lines.
Yeah, and it's also...
They need them to spell it out, like how Netflix has to... What is it? When Netflix says that they have to repeat the plot in the dialogue so people know what something's about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sad. It's sad.
It's
not as sad and bleak as I woke up this morning and I was scrolling through news and Twitter and all that stuff, and I saw this one article that was like, there was an interview with 60 Minutes with some guy named Clavicle, and who's like an incel influencer. He's the guy that pushed forward looks maxing.
And oh, so I went, the guy who walked off the interview.
Yeah, he walked off the interview. It's where you go to these extremes. Men go of a certain age go to extremes to make themselves physically attractive. like taking hammers and breaking their bones so that they grow back stronger. He's also on crystal meth to keep himself thin.
Is this like what Pedro Pascal did in The Materialist?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Now, I saw, I think the best, if you, the first thing that popped up on Twitter, if you just search looks maxing, there's like a gif of a guy with like a Theragun, like one of those muscle gun things, like on his cheek. Like he's just like trying to make it's What is wrong with guys? I don't understand. Not all straight guys, but like
young straight guys. Male, they fall into this like Andrew Tate cult, and I don't know. Anyway, it's I read the Wikipedia page of this guy Clavicle, and it's so depressing.
Clavicle. That's strike one.
Yeah. So anyway. But I'm old, so there you go.
Bone smashing. Oh god. Yeah,
he said something too that was like, I could never vote for JD Vance. I'm not, no, he said something like, I'm not MAGA because I can never vote for JD Vance because how can you have a president that's that fat? And then he was like, I'd vote for Newsom because he's a total Chad. And I'm like,
okay.
These are the people who are voting, guys. Anyway. He lives in Florida. Yeah. Just put a fence around Florida.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Anyway, enough about that. Let's talk Emmys. So Joey, you have written up a review for season 5 of Hacks, which is again the season finale. It has what I believe to be series best reviews. I didn't check the Metacritic score, but it's got a perfect 100 on Rotten Tomatoes. Very quickly, what did you think of the season?
So the biggest impression that I think I took, or one of the biggest takeaways for this season for me is that actually on Metacritic, the third and fourth season have higher rankings than season 5, okay. But it's right there. The thing that I enjoyed about this season was how the relationship between Ava and Deborah is not as adversarial, I guess you would call it. Like they bicker throughout the season, but it never becomes like the thrust of the episodes really, or the arc of the season. I think that one of the reasons why I love this season so much is that it really shows the strength of like the powers of them together, like the powers combined, they whatever, Captain Planet, I don't know. So there's, I think I just rewatched episode 7 last night. Episode 7 is probably the one where they're like bickering the most, that sort of back and forth that they're very good at. That's when they go to Montecito. That's a great episode. That's, I think, probably my favorite episode. But I think the reason why I like it so much is that it kind of capitalizes on their chemistry in a different way. Like you can see that they have learned from each other and they do enjoy each other, where like, you know, certain stuff about Ava bugs the shit out of Deborah, like her combat boots and Greenpeace and like, make sure you call people by the right pronouns. And it's sort of like, you can quite literally see how the characters have affected each other, but it's also not that it's not, that also doesn't weigh down the chemistry or the humor in a lot of things for me. So I think it does feel kind of like a victory lap for the characters. Interesting, because that's what Deborah is trying to do with her career. She's trying to like really secure her legacy with a couple of things going on in the season. So I'm a big fan. I like that they're going out on top. I love it. So I'm down for the whole thing.
Yeah, I liked it too. It's a little all over the place. There's a little bit too much. Let's get these people in there because it's the final season. Let's get this person back. Let's bring this. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite as cohesive as other seasons have been, but it's still it soars on the strength of Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart's performances, and in addition to some others. Now, I could have done with a lot less Megan Stoffler, but
anyway. I think I'm forgetting her last name. Robbie Hoffman.
Yeah,
I think Robbie Hoffman. They really sort of bolster that character throughout the whole season. They bolster Randy throughout, and I really enjoy that character, and I kind of wish that the character was introduced maybe in season three, so we got more of her. But she was probably one of my other standouts for the season for sure.
So bringing it back to the main topic, so obviously Jean Smart's going to be nominated for comedy actress. That's, you know, there's no question about that, right?
Sure.
The question is, can she win a fifth Emmy for this character? Can she win for all five seasons of Hacks? I think she probably can, because her only competition is really Lisa Kudrow for the comeback.
Yeah, I really go back and forth between those two actors. I originally think I had Kudrow winning with Hacks winning comedy, because I think Hacks probably makes the most sense right now in terms of what could win comedy series. There isn't like a studio, or there isn't, I don't know. I don't think that Only Murders is going to do it. I don't think that Abbott's going to do it. I'd be very curious to see if there has been anybody who has won a lead Emmy for actor or actress who has won for every single season. I don't think there has been.
Not Maybe for, he didn't win for, I mean, well, he didn't win for all of the seasons, right? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. Probably not.
I feel like Megan should know that.
Wait, who, what? I was writing down stuff about the actors. What
did you did Alec Baldwin win for every single season of 30 Rock?
I don't think he did.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm just pulling it up now, but I mean, even
okay, he won one. Never mind.
He won one Emmy,
I guess.
Feels like he won a lot more than
I know.
That.
Maybe those are
he has three primetime Emmy awards.
Oh, I'm looking at something else. He won for Saturday Night Live and two for 30 Rock. I need to learn how to read.
I mean, even Julia Louis-Dreyfus didn't win for every season of Veep. She almost did. She won. She lost for the last one.
Yeah.
I do think that Lisa Kudrow could surprise us. She's also a veteran actress that on a beloved little show about entertainment. It is kind of like similar. I mean, I wouldn't count her out. I do think it's probably Jean.
It's easily between those two.
If they play their cards right with this, especially since I've been seeing people, especially her whole like PR thing saying that like she was the friend that nobody cared about. Like,
right.
That's kind of a good tactic to remind people of, you know, how talented she is. And I saw a tweet today where somebody was like, oh, based on this last episode, she is the most talented of the friends.
She's great. So, I mean, she's great in a show that I find very inconsistent this season. I think personally, I think it's very inconsistent, but you know, she only has the one Emmy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is nuts. And I don't know how much, I don't know. And this might be a thing. Like if people wanted to say how, I mean, the comeback is a little bit more pointed in how it deals with AI, so I assume that that'll probably be at least in somebody's minds in terms of how they vote. But like the comeback, the whole season is about AI affecting the show that Valerie Cherish is on. There's a little bit of that in hacks coming in, like I think it's episode 5 or 6, where there's stuff about AI, but that is really more about how it affects writers and Ava. But it's in there, but it's sort of very prevalent through the comeback.
Yeah, I just, her performance, as good as I think it is, as great as I think it is a very specific type of comedy that is not everybody's tea.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see her win lead actress.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with either one of them. I do think comedy actress is a two-way race. I don't think there's anybody else that stands a chance in hell of winning, personally. What do you guys think?
Let's see who I have in my...
Quinta Brunson will probably be nominated. I don't know if she'll win.
Yeah.
Who else would be?
I mean, Kristen Bell. Could be Kristen Bell. It could
Do
be
we
Io.
Think that nobody wants this is going to come back in this category?
I feel like it's pretty quiet, honestly.
I think it's pretty quiet. I'm not even sure Adam Brody gets in. Which I guess that's a segue into our next conversation. But I just feel like I've heard cricket from the second season. And a lot of people are upset more than I've seen anybody happy.
Yes, it has been very muted. But you, I mean, you, so
what
put her, put a pin in her for a second and then tell me who else gets nominated instead of her.
Right. That's a good question.
I mean,
well, Kristen Wiig, sorry.
Go ahead.
Kristen Wiig got nominated for season 1 of Palm Royale, but the show was canceled. But she was nominated at SAG. So I have her like in the hunt. But I mean, like, actor, lead actor and actress in a comedy have typically been 5 or 6 slots. So if you have Jean Smart, Lisa Kudrow, Quinta Brunson, that's half. And then you have a lot of returning people like Kristen Bell, Iowa
Debbery,
Kristen Wiig, Jenna Ortega, Selena Gomez. I don't know Maya Rudolph. I don't know who would, if any of those repeat. It just feels like it's a little muted at the moment. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm looking. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, I mean, The Bear has been so long ago that I think you're going to have Emmy voters looking at their ballots being totally surprised that it's still in contention.
Wait, did you say Elle Fanning?
No,
not yet.
Okay. I think he has a shot at.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely.
She's really good on that show too.
Yeah.
Comes out this week.
Yeah, I want to see that. But maybe like, I don't know, do we think maybe some other, like, is this Kate, wait, when is Kate Hudson, is that Running Point coming back in time?
Running Point season 2.
It is, yeah.
Okay, because I could see her getting in. I think this is where, or I Love LA, do we think Rachel Sennett gets in?
I think, wouldn't it be kind of funny if Elle Fanning and Kate Hudson both get in and they were both nominated for Oscars this past year?
Because I do think that Running Point is fun. It's a fun show.
Yeah, it comes
a lot
back
of people
on the
like
23rd.
It. Yeah, and it's coming back at a time. I think it developed, it probably had time to stew and for people, more people to watch it.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I could see her getting in. Yeah.
Well, The Bear wasn't
what about
even
The Miniature Wife with Elizabeth
Banks?
Fuck
you. What?
I love those two so much, and I cannot bring myself to watch that show based on its premise. And
yeah,
I saw a
yeah.
tweet that said he tries it and it goes horribly. And I think we all know what that means.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Are you? Oh, no.
I know.
What?
I don't know. I don't know.
You guys are all.
So now maybe I do need to watch it. Maybe I do need to watch it.
I would maybe watch that show if the episodes were 30 minutes, and they're not.
They're not?
They're an hour.
I think they're an hour.
I'm sorry, if you're a miniature wife, you gotta have miniature minutes.
I know. You should be on Quibi. Like, what is going on?
I would say Kate Hudson stood a stronger shot if she'd been nominated for something somewhere for Running Point.
I thought she had been, though, in certain places.
Maybe she got a Critics' Choice nomination, but she hasn't gotten Golden Globe nominated. She hasn't gotten SAG nominated.
Yeah, Miniature Wife episodes are between 42 and 47 minutes long.
I will watch it. I'm going to watch it. I'm putting it on my list.
Can we? That might be a show that I like make videos about and put them on TikTok.
Could we talk to each other that way and sure. Be like back?
I want to say for The Bear was nominated. Not that this is a huge barometer about this, but if we're just talking about, you know, stuff where it's been before, The Bear got an ensemble nomination at SAG actor, whatever, but none of the actors got in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like Io didn't, because it was Catherine O'Hara, Catherine Hahn, Jenna Ortega, Jean Smart, and Kristen Wiig. An actor was Seth Rogen, Ike Barinholtz, Adam Brody, Ted Danson, and Martin Short. So,
if I were going to, okay,
the bear is hibernating.
So wait, there are five slots. Is that what there are? Five
typically
slots,
between five and six.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Jean. We've got Lisa.
Quinta.
Quinta. So we got Quinta three Tarrant. More. I'm going with Elle Fanning.
Yep,
I think I would too. Yeah.
And then who was the other person I mentioned? Was it Kate Hudson maybe, or there was somebody else in this that I was like, oh, definitely Wednesday. What's her name? Jenna Ortega. Yeah.
That girl.
Yeah. Definitely Wednesday. I sound like an old man. Who's that girl?
Jesus Christ.
Maybe Rachel Sennett. I know a lot of people though are like not sure about. I don't know if AO gets in. To be honest,
you know, you would think like old. I mean, Running Point would have been like such an old Golden Globes pick.
Yeah.
She wasn't nominated because the Golden Globes are sad.
Yeah. Or does even Platonic, does Rose Byrne?
Oscar nominee this year.
Right, yeah. I mean, that sometimes happens, too. So
I feel a peace brewing.
I mean,
I don't think a lot of people know what Platonic is.
Yeah.
That's true.
Unfortunately, it's a good show, but
I mean, it could go. It's going to go one of two ways, right? So a bunch of old, familiar faces get in there, or you get some really weird nomination.
Yeah.
And maybe a combination of both. Like you get a Rachel Sennett in. Not to say that that's a weird performance, very deserving performance, but you know, something that not everybody's calling.
Right
now, I mean, right now, if you look at Gold Derby, everybody's picking the old favorites because they don't know what to choose.
Yeah.
I just feel like The Bear is definitely, I think people have fallen out of love with it. I think the same for Only Murders in the Building, because I also could put Selena in there. And I don't know. I just think that I just don't know if those will. Is there somebody from Shrinking who could get in lead actress or no?
Not in lead actress.
No.
I'm going with Elle Fanning, Jenna Ortega, and Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I would go with too.
That's probably the best bet. If I had to take someone out, I might take out Jenna Ortega and put in Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
A lot of white
blonde. Or I might take out.
It'd be all white blonde ladies.
Kristen Wiig and Kate Hudson. I think that.
Yeah.
Because the show was canceled. So. Yeah.
Yeah, but they love her. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Maya Rudolph could pop up too. I don't think a ton of people Loot is not an Apple show that a lot of people, I don't say watch, but I mean, like, people don't talk about as much as other Apple shows. But she's Maya Rudolph, and she got nominated for season two. And she has like 1,700 Emmys. So she could get back in. Who knows? If I could put you guys on the spot, is there anybody that is probably most definitely not in the conversation that you would like to see in the conversation?
Wait,
Like
oh,
Kim Kardashian for All's Fair,
I
apparently
didn't know
that's
that that
running
was a
against comedy.
comedy.
People, well, the thing is, it feels like that being
I didn't know that was a
campaigned
comedy.
in comedy is just sort of like, it's funny, it's camp, and everyone's like, no.
I've got a couple. Well, Wendy McClendon-Covey for St. Dennis Medical, because
That's good. Yeah.
good and everything. I also love the fact that she didn't show up for what was it, the Oscars, and she's like, I had my neck done. Did you know that was why?
No.
And she's like, I'm having
That's
my
funny.
neck done. It was looking bad, so that's why she wasn't there. I just love
That's
so
great.
much. I also don't know if that's probably, well, I mean, I'd loved, they have Poker Face on here as, but she's not eligible. I don't know why they have that on there. That's probably one of the ones that I would like to see. I was gonna say maybe somebody from the chair company, but I don't think there's anybody. Oh, Ted. I was gonna say Alana Ubach, but I think she's gotta be
That
some.
she must be supporting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see, and this is no chance at all, but I'd love to see Tina Fey. And we haven't seen the four season second season, but she's very good in that first season, and I'd love to see her nominated.
Yeah, she does a lot of good stuff in that first season. So I mean, I would love to see her get in again. I think someone like oh, I just had her name. I haven't finished Big Mistakes yet. I've seen I think half of it, and Taylor Ortega I think is really funny. She does just a lot of good banter with Daniel Levy, so she's funny. And I wouldn't mind seeing someone like I like Leanne Morgan. I think she's very charming. Or like Wally Barham for Bahram from Overcompensating. That should have been a Golden Globe slam dunk, but whatever.
You're not going down for Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, for And Just Like That.
Yeah.
I will campaign for the costumes.
The show that was that she found out it was canceled when it went live.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, there was like they just aired an episode and they said, "Okay, that's it. It's done." And she was like, "What?"
That was the weirdest last episode of a show because it was so anticlimactic, and it's just her walking around her house to Barry White. You're my
Yeah.
first by everything.
I mean, it's this is a dark territory where if you when you get down, which is why I kind of hope that they have five nominations or five slots this year, because they're just it's not very robust. It's not
Yeah,
deep. Not a deep
right.
bench. And I don't think the Bear should be a comedy this season because there was nothing funny about it. It was all pathos and drama and saying goodbye and thankfulness, forgiving people, and it was nothing funny in that. It was so sad and just dramatic. It's a season that I liked, but it's not a comedy. So not a comedy.
At least 30 minutes each episode, right? Is it still 30-minute episodes?
It is.
I kind of wish there was like one character in The Bear that didn't necessarily fit, but was definitely just going like go for broke for comedy. Like I'm talking like a clown doing
It needs
what?
Ted, the teddy bear
Or
from
if
Ted.
like yeah, or if like one one character was like CGI.
That was oh my god!
No, no,
Elf.
You need you need them to hire waitress Valerie Cherish. Well, I don't know. Why are you crying? That would be
hilarious. I'm it.
Yeah.
Well, I got it.
How's that? Anyway.
Oh fuck.
So Joey, what where did you close your last three slots for comedy actress?
I think I would do Kristen Wiig, Elle Fanning, and Jenna Ortega.
Very good. So let's jump to...
It's not a funny show either. Jesus Christ. Sorry, go ahead.
Which one? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
No, it's not funny at all.
Deadpan is not hilarious all the time. That's all I'm saying.
And actually, Wednesday's not even a good show.
I think Pluribus is funny, and I think it should be in a comedy.
Yeah,
even though it's dark, but it's darkly funny.
So let's take a look at what I think is one of the most bleak categories Ooh. Of the entire Emmys. And Joey, I'll let you kick this off because you mentioned wanting to talk about this, which is comedy actor. No front runner whatsoever. And I would argue that the only reason that some people are saying one person is a front runner because of their personal struggles and tragedy over the last couple of months, which is Martin Short.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't think that Martin Short would be necessarily a bad winner in this category just because of the character arc in season four of Only Murders. I'm a little hesitant to say that just because is it five? No, this is
season
for episode four. This is for season four.
Oh.
Wait,
is it?
Five. You are correct. Season five. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about the Hollywood season all of a sudden. Yeah, because he's like waffling, like wondering if he should leave the building. And I think this season, season four didn't have as, it fell dramatically in terms of nominations from season three to season four. And it felt like season five, it was decently received, but I feel like a lot of people lump it in with like season two. They think it's good, but it's not the greatest thing. So the thing is, there are a bunch of people in here who I think have never won an Emmy. So if like Jason Segel doesn't have an Emmy for Shrinking, Jeremy Allen White, in my opinion, has, I mean, he has two Emmys.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, go away. So I guess if I had to predict the category right now, I think it would be Jason Segel, Martin Short. If both
Ethan
men
Hawke.
cannot get in, huh?
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke. I think Steve Martin.
I think Steve Martin's in.
And then I think the last couple of slots could be people who've never won before, like Steve Carell doesn't have an Emmy.
I also think people should watch for Tim Robinson in The Chair Company.
Yeah, I agree. I've got him in there.
Yeah, because I think he has an Emmy. So people do like him. And this is him flexing some comedic muscles. Not to cut you off, but just to add that in, Joey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the only other person that I would like to throw out there in terms of contention would be Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
Because Tracy Morgan not only does not have an Emmy, I think he only has one Emmy nomination. And I don't know how, like, for me, I mean, I'm sure you guys feel the same way. Like, Tracy Morgan is, like, synonymous with TV. And he's synonymous with great. Just thinking about it makes me laugh. And he's really funny on The Fall and Rise of Reggie Dinkins. I don't know, since it's on, you know, what is on NBC.
It's on NBC, yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't sure if NBC or Peacock, but it was like, I think that is kind of a bummer if somebody of that caliber and, you know, history could not like be a shoo-in. It just makes me like, I think Jeremy Allen White will fall out. I think he'll fall out this year. So if like he gets in for the bear and someone like Tim Robinson or even Ted Danson for Man on the Inside, or Dan Levy for Big Mistakes. But I feel like someone like Tracy Morgan should totally be in the conversation. But
what about Steve Carell for Rooster?
Yeah, that could. I mean, he goes a long way with the same thing with Tracy Morgan. I mean, I like Rooster a lot. I think it's created by Bill Lawrence. I think that is a show that really hits the same kind of emotional comedic stuff that Shrinking does really well. I mean, Bill Lawrence has Scrubs back on TV.
Could Zach Braff get back? Was he even ever?
I actually think Scrubs is a show that I watched very casually because Jason loves Scrubs. I think Scrubs is really funny.
It is.
The reboot. I mean, I think.
Oh, yeah. I've heard really good things. I haven't watched it, but like, it's a funny show. So I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up too.
Yeah.
That's another Bill Lawrence show.
And he was only nominated once.
Yeah, I was going to say.
For the original run. And it was nominated for comedy series twice.
This category is bleak.
But isn't it just going to be Jason Segel?
Like to win?
Yeah.
You think so?
I mean, I've seen that clip of him and Harrison Ford going around a lot today.
Yeah.
And then it would be like, you know, people are going to be saying like, oh my God, it's a Freaks and Geeks like comedy, you know, like last year was Seth Rogen, this year it's Jason Segel. So next year James Franco has to have a comeback and you know.
Nobody will be saying that, Megan.
Or it'd be so funny if Linda Cardellini wins for like DTF St. Louis. Also that'd be weird because they dated. So I don't wish that awkwardness upon them, but
Like I would even struggle to like, I don't know. I just think this, I don't know. This category doesn't make me very happy.
No, put these pictures on a dartboard and just throw darts at them. And that's how you pick your nominees.
See, I just think it's Jason. I think Jason Segel's the front runner. That's what I thought. That's what I think is a slam dunk. People love that show.
It's been growing.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, I think he's the front runner. But I do agree that Jeremy Allen White falls out, I think.
I think I would probably say it's between Jason Segel and Martin Short.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know if there's like even a term for this, but like nobody wants this, I feel like, came and went. I feel like there should be like a term for maybe just like freshman excitement. So they're like, oh my God, we love your show. And then we don't nominate it for other stuff again.
Not like a one hit wonder, but
yeah, one watch like, wonder.
Like so many people who loved that show, absolutely loved that show. Like or like if you go on the Reddit page, I actually, that's where I went because I was going to keep watching. And even though I was like not feeling it, and like Reddit was just like ripping it apart, just like not good.
Because if you're looking at just like a list of contenders, like even if you go outside the top 10, there's like Dan Levy, Nicolas Cage for Spider Noir, Matthew Rhys for Widow's Bay. I actually think that looks funny. I have screeners. I should probably watch it.
That looks so scary.
Yeah, I hear a lot of things about Widow's Bay. A lot of good things about it. I have him in as a dark horse contender.
Is it a comedy?
I think it's like a dark black comedy.
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be really creepy. the trailer I saw of like the person just walking really far away was really.
But like going through like some of it's just like, oh, Owen Wilson for Stick. Like, no, I'm not saying like these people are bad. It's just like it's like it just doesn't feel like in the last couple of years, Jack Whitehall, The Burbs, Frankie Muniz, Will Sharpe for Too Much, Domhnall Gleeson for The Paper, David Alan Greer, St. Dennis Medical, Glenn Powell for Chad Powers. It just feels like
No,
nothing.
no,
It
no.
just feels, I don't know. It just feels
Not
like
Chad Powers.
I need people to like that's I don't even think that's a real show.
Watched part of it. Remember, I texted you on New Year's Eve this year.
No, I think you should strike that from the record. I don't think you should tell people that. What did you do on New Year's? I promised to be better to myself. I watched Chad Powers.
Oh, that's where we got snowed in. I just watched a bunch of shows, and that was one that I wanted to watch. And I was texting you, and I was like, I don't like this show. And you were like, why are you watching it?
That's probably the exact thing that I said. I was like,
probably.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Megan. I mean, I think Tim Robinson is probably a good bet. I don't know if the Chair Company gets in for comedy series, but I think they might
Yeah, I think.
recognize the show by nominating him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think because he's got like he has respect in the business too. I mean, he has an Emmy for I Think You Should Leave. And I think that he's been everywhere like recently between the Chair Company and Friendship. So, and also having HBO behind it kind of helps, I think. Oh. It's also a really funny, weird, wacky show. The one episode is one of the funniest episodes, like, on television of the last year or so.
I should watch that.
Yeah.
Because every time I hear it about the premise, it just made me laugh. It's
He falls out of his chair and then
so
goes on a
stupid.
quest to figure out what happens to his chair, and it's just it's so stupid.
The pilot was, this is the one episode I watched. It was very funny, but it was very clear to me that it was a show that I could not watch for an extended period of time.
I mean, thankfully, I agree that it's like it's short though. It doesn't have that many episodes, but the episode that I really like is I can't remember if it's like five or something. There's just an episode where he goes to this bar and this guy has his shirt and he almost dips his shirt in the dip, like cheese dip, and he goes, "Sir, you're gonna dip your shirt in the cheese dip," and the guy gets mad at him like irate. He's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do that." And he's like, "I was just trying to help," and it becomes a thread throughout the whole. He's like, "Look at me," and he's just like, "I was just trying to help you." It's almost like The Simpsons or like Family Guy with like, "You're a big fat phony," but in real life, and there's like a chase and like, if you watch one episode, let me figure out which one that is. I think it's that's. I mean, it's so funny. It's so funny.
So I noticed, so you mentioned right away, Megan, Ethan Hawke for The Lowdown. What is that show about?
Isn't it like kind of, actually don't know, but I know that people really like it. And he's also got the Oscar bump. So it's from Sterling Harjo from oh, the show that everybody loved. I can't remember what it is right now. Hold on, let me get to it. Oh,
I mean,
Keith David
Reservoir
is on it
Dogs,
too.
Reservation Dogs.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
What is it? Reservoir Dogs. That is not a show.
No.
Way to go, Joey.
It's in Tulsa. It's about a man who knows too much, is loosely inspired by Leroy Chapman, is what Wikipedia says. But Keith David, isn't it? I love Keith David. I do need to watch this. Gene Triplehorn of Basic Instinct. It all connects together. Tracy Letts. It's got a great cast. I've heard I do think he'll at least get, I don't know if it gets in for like series, but I do think he gets in because he, along with Blue Moon, he was really promoting that one heavily.
Yeah.
What network has this?
That's FX.
FX.
FX. Yeah, that's a slam dunk, I think.
Ooh, if he gets it and Jeremy Allen White doesn't. Ooh. Ooh.
Episode 5 is the episode of Chair Company that I think everybody should watch. So if you watch one episode, watch that one.
So I'm going with Martin Short, Jason Segel, Steve Martin, Carell, Tim Robinson, and Ethan Hawke. But that sixth slot, if there is a sixth slot, that could be Ted Danson. It could be Matthew Rhys.
Braff.
Zach Braff. Yeah, I mean, Scrubs could be huge.
I would probably say the same people. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the same people too. It also is interesting that so many shows from 2005 are back right now, like Scrubs, The Comeback. There's something. Oh.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, fuck.
A show that just dropped and got great ratings, I saw.
Then I saw some, though, were just, like, awful, though. Like, they said it was so unnecessary. Then I saw people do. It was necessary. I'm just
I meant ratings, not reviews.
Oh, ratings? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it did well in the ratings. But yeah, no, the reviews were not good. Not great.
Life really is unfair.
It's a reboot that people are comparing it unfavorably to Scrubs, where Scrubs feels fresh, feels funny, and nobody asked for a Malcolm in the Middle revisit.
Yes, that's true.
But anyway. Yeah, so I think we all have the same six right now. It'd be interesting to see if the Emmys return to Nobody Wants This.
Yeah. Cause then if they don't, the headline will be
Nobody wants it. All right. So next week we will pick things up again, as I mentioned, with The Pitt and talk about its Emmy potential and with the obviously the drama races. Although there are moments of The Pitt that are far funnier than anything in The Bear. So
that's true.
But anyway, Grocer too. Okay, let's jump to the flash forward very quickly. Megan, why don't you go first?
Well, I need to watch The Lowdown, clearly. Watch Miniature Wife. I just want to, I'm curious now.
Sure.
I need to see the drama real bad. I'm going to read a new book. I think I'm going to read Easy Money by Ben McKenzie, because I just saw his doc, which I'm writing a review about. Everyone is lying to you for money. Which I saw it at the Miami Film Festival, and it's really, really great. Really enjoyed it. Normal is coming out this Friday, which is a Bob Odenkirk movie. I got to talk to him. I interview him, moderate a conversation with him at the Miami Film Festival, which was really fun, and the movie is really fun too. So that comes out Friday, see it in theaters. Jessie Ware's new album comes out Friday. And also Rue is gonna pick a new RuPaul's Drag Race winner, so that's exciting too.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's who do you think it is?
I think it's Darlene.
I'm kind of wondering about that. I'm actually okay with any of them winning, to be honest, except for Juicy. Wait, no, she's, I don't want Juicy
there anymore.
Oh, did she get kicked off? I missed last week. Oh, wait, the week before. Yes, she did get kicked off. Okay, yeah. Sorry. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. That would be great. I would love that.
Joey, what about you?
I'm also looking forward to the finale of Drag Race, mostly so everyone will stop bitching about it. That's another book in my series. Everyone will stop bitching about it, except me. I am trying to watch and, you know, consume as much TV as I can. I like Beef so far. That drops on, I think, Thursday. Margo's Got Money Troubles, that drops on Wednesday. I want to finish that, and then I want to go back and I'm going to be consuming more of the picks. I'm like four episodes behind, so I need to catch up. And yeah, that's it.
For me, I am definitely going to try to get to see. I know you tweeted a couple of weeks ago or last week, Joey, that you were the last person that you knew to see Project Hail Mary. Not true. I have still not seen it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you saw it enough already. Yeah,
I am going to try to see it this weekend. And then on the TV front, I just discovered that there was an Ultimate Baking Championship. That, what? Yes, there is an Ultimate Baking Championship on Food Network. So started watching that this weekend, and we are, as already, I think tonight is the sixth episode. So, yeah.
How is this different?
It's not. It's the ultimate prize for the Ultimate Baking Champion. It's only $50,000. I was like, ultimate?
Wait, who are the? Oh, sorry, I'm looking at the judges. Okay, I want to tell you something, and maybe I mentioned this to you before. Is Duff one of the judges?
He's the main judge, and then they rotate the second position. There's only two judges.
Oh, okay. I don't like it when Duff unhinges his jaw and looks almost directly at the camera. That is such a big bite. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it so much.
Yeah. The second episode has Amore. I'm gonna butcher this name. Amore Guichon, the French chocolatier who makes like giant Harry Potter statues out of chocolate, and I'm sure you've seen his videos, and he is vicious.
Oh, really?
Ooh. At one point he critiques someone's dessert, and he leans over to Duff and he says, "How did she do last week?" And Duff says, "Well, she won the whole thing last week." And he's like, "I could not tell from this dish."
Oh my god!
It's like, oh
well.
So watching that, want to pick up Margo's Got Money Troubles. Continuing my my serotonin influence of my serotonin boost of Parks and Rec. I am now in season three. Such a great show. And then in book front, I have put down Wuthering Heights. I'm just not in the mental space to read a classic novel. So I am listening to The Bonfire of the Vanities by Tom Wolfe. Finally getting around to reading it. Because it's going to be an Apple limited series very soon or sometime next year.
That's crazy because it was a failed film. So I'm wondering why they're maybe. Well, I do always argue.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I do always argue that if it failed, then you should remake it. So,
well, the book is huge. Like, it's a 28-hour audiobook, and they whittled it all down to a 2-hour movie. There's so much content. There's so much character development, and it's a very nuanced thing, and the movie just couldn't get it. So, all right. Does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3Ms, contending co-founders, Megan McLaughlin, Joey Moser, and me, Clarence Moy. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on your favorite podcast app or like us, click like and subscribe here on YouTube, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.